Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, thank you for calling, well, and listening to the Philosophy Show. And it is a call-in show, so let me give you that number if you want to call in. It's area code 646-929-1344. 646-929-1344. And again, the show is called The Philosophy Show. You can check it out at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy, where you can see the other 130 shows. This is episode 131. And it's consistently on the same night, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Thomas, your host of The Philosophy Show. You can also visit my website at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And today's episode is titled, Pledge Not to Rely on Hope This Election Year, BSHCDTJV. And if you don't know what those ending acronyms are, you will find out soon. I wrote an article, and I have it posted on a forum on the Tom Hartman forum in the domestic politics, and I'm going to start out by reading you that article that I wrote on March the 19th, and it had the same title, Pledge Not to Rely on Hope This Election Year. And so here it goes. If you have your listening ears on now, you want to hear a good article that I wrote. It starts out with quotes. Quotes, I hope once she gets into office, she will do the right thing. Quotes, he's a wild card. You never know what you're going to get. Those are statements that I have heard for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Now, one trait of democracy is this, that we should not have to hope that they will do the right thing. That's why we have elections and a season, a long season, to research the candidates. If we have any standards at all, it is that we choose a person who we want to serve us, not lead us per se, and not to have any surprises, and to know exactly what and who we're getting, and just as important, how they're going to implement these things, because how is the what, and I had a show on that before. So I put this into two tables of contents. One, the Bernie strategy. I know I'm not Bernie Sanders, but if I was Bernie Sanders, this is what I would do. Before anything else, fight harder than ever and also make many points for each issue, expanding on each one with at least 4 points. Hillary does this, and it makes her sound more competent. Ross Perot used to do that in the 1990s. You can YouTube Ross Perot. He was an independent that almost became president, and so does Alan Grayson. Now, number one, here's a point I would make if I was Bernie Sanders to Hillary Clinton, my Democratic opponent. Not only do we request of Mrs. Clinton to release the transcripts that she made with Goldman Sachs, where she got paid $250,000 per speech, and she made lots of speeches. They've made about $150 million in speeches, the Clintons, in the last couple decades. But can and will she also pledge not to have any Goldman Sachs or Citigroup, etc., in her administration? If not, why not? can we have the non-conflict of interest? Because how many of the previous administrations have had establishment bankers in their administration, Republican and Democrat? A lot. In the Treasury Department. So a lot of our last couple treasurers have all been in, you know, the inside group in the smoke-filled rooms of the banking industries. And, you know, Bernie should show a chart and name each one. And this does not also extend to the Treasury Department. Look at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. How many Monsanto people are in that? And also look at every other department. Those are the real super predators. Point number two. Maybe Hillary Clinton is like an overachiever type, like show me the money type of a person. And, you know, maybe she was the person who is a high school president, and she's always wanted to be the president of the United States, and that's her passion. Maybe she's just a corporate fascist with a smile. Take notice of the overthrows of regimes overseas, like the Iraq War, the bank bailouts, separation in states, Obamacare. She's real good at promoting policies that the Republicans used to. I mean, before Obamacare, there was Romney Care, and that was being pushed back in the 90s. And the health industry gets lots of lucrative deals with pharmaceuticals, vaccines, contracts. They have expanded patents to go a lot further than they're supposed to for generics. They have infiltrated the FDA. They've stunted competition while rewarding whoever pays and whoever has connections. Look at some of the policies for GMOs and the process of approving drugs. They also want to get rid of alternative health, and they want to make you rely on them instead. Now, since Obamacare, they've gotten so greedy and bold that there's only one more step, and that's forcing everyone to purchase their crummy insurance with high deductibles while the banks get rich off of them because they're invested in them. And look at the food pyramid. Who do you think paid for that? You know, we're the fattest country in the world. Another point, what's a hallmark trait that you're living in a banana republic? Question mark. Well, the answer to that is dynasties. That's when political power concentrates to families and groups like the Bushes or the Clintons. Another point, the Patriot Act and other abuses of the Constitution. If I was Bernie Sanders, I'd ask Hillary Clinton, what don't you like about the Fourth Amendment that goes against the Patriot Act that she and a lot of other people voted for? Another point, bribery. Quit playing softball. It isn't just Goldman Sachs who's given millions to Hillary. You should show her a whole chart. There's a full list of dozens, and he should read them one by one. Educate, enunciate, inform the electorates, the citizens, not uninformed subjects. What Hillary and other politicians considered bribery for most judges, if they had a court case, and regular government employees. Another point, if Hillary says if you're not voting for her, then you're voting for Trump, with a frown, at least he didn't vote for the Iraq War, nor the bailouts. They both are predators. And maybe when the super predator comments Hillary Clinton said was a self-projection statement of her when she called young black people that back in the 1990s. Super predators. You can YouTube it. Trump and Hillary are about the two most divisive people in politics today. They're popular with the base, but not the larger group. Independents and Republicans don't support Hillary, and Democrats and some independents will not support Trump. This will lead to the best chance a third party has ever had since the Republicans, who were a third party at one point, too, since Abraham Lincoln. Jesse Ventura, anyone? Bernie has the best chance to win the general election. That needs to be said clearly because it is a fact. When you put him up in polls against Trump, he beats Trump by more than Hillary beats Trump. He beats Ted Cruz more than Ted Cruz actually is tied with Hillary in national polls when you take everyone, Republicans, Democrats, Independents. Bernie would beat them all. So if so next point. Bernie has more amendments than anyone in Congress. So, you know, what does he do in Congress? He's added amendments to different bills, and he's has, like, the record. So he's someone who can negotiate and get stuff done. He's a progressive who gets progressive policies done. Now, Hillary claims she's a progressive who gets things done. But sure, she gets things done, like ensuring that she has over $100 million in her bank accounts, Patriot Act, the Iraq War, the bank bailouts, these rip-off trade policies, which shows that she caves in under pressure. Remember that Billy Joel song, Pressure? You can YouTube that. Bernie is more capitalist. People call him a socialist. Let me explain how he's more capitalist than any of the Republicans or Democrats running. When Hillary voted for the bailouts, she gave up on capitalism and democracy. And when she voted for the Iraq War also, and the point being, she gave up on capitalism and democracy when she voted for the bailouts in the Iraq War. The point about democracy is that most people did not want the bailouts to happen. That was the genesis of the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street, was those bailouts and how they were unfairly administered. Polls were vehemently against it. People were against it. And if you believe in democracy, then you shouldn't have done the bailouts if people were against it. Point about her being against capitalism is regarding the bailouts. And this goes for any of the Republicans, most of them who voted for the bailouts, the Republicans too. Real capitalism would have let the too big to fail banks fail. The smaller mid-sized banks would buy them up. So instead, now we have the same people who caused the crash rewarded, still in business, and in a very real way, their competitors who have their competitors should have been rewarded by making the right decisions, but they're being punished by having to have their taxes go to the banks that should have failed. This is a very important point. This is the essence of capitalism. And Bernie Sanders voted against those bailouts. This should help Bernie Sanders with capitalists and small and mid-sized businesses. Because imagine if you were a small or mid-sized bank or business, if you were a small or mid-sized bank or business, imagine if you didn't make those bad decisions or gamble your customers' monies away, but then your competitor bank, who was too big to fail and who had gambled and lost all their customers' money, had you bail them out, when in fact you should have been buying them out. We would have smarter people running banks right now if that were to have happened instead. And it's not good enough to say that the banks paid it back. They should never have had that advantage in the first place. Imagine what we could have had again if the smarter banks were rewarded instead. And a lot of people lost their homes, their livelihoods, and they were not bailed out. If we're going to have bailouts, why not bail out the people, and in turn they would have given it to the banks? Most people were against the bailouts, and that is a proven fact, and it's less democratic to support the bailouts because it shows how the power of the revolving door, the infiltrators in the government from Goldman Sachs, etc., and the administration had more pull and power than the actual voters and their wishes. Hillary and others keep saying they're not socialists, but who is the real capitalist? And actually, the bailouts are technically more fascist. Now, regarding the Iraq War, who thinks if Iraq didn't have any oil at all that we would have even invaded them? Dick Cheney was mapping the oil fields on day one. And that's a fact. He invited people from the oil companies, like on the first day he was in the White House, and they're mapping out the oil fields in Iraq. According to the then Treasury Secretary, Paul O'Neill, and that was on PBS. But A real capitalist would let the market determine oil prices, and if they go up, naturally, that will encourage new energy solutions. So it's a major subsidy, these wars are, for the oil companies. Major socialism for them. You know, another point, we should be exploring the stars more so now. Remember movies like 2001, etc., the Space Odyssey, they expected a lot more than where we're at now. Instead of peace and prosperity, starting from the 1980s or so, we have completely drained the budget and spending power of America. It has been a giant sucking sound out of entrepreneurs in the middle class to the big multinational corporations who hate competition, by the way. They hate it. We now have more people on food stamps than ever. Look at those statistics if you don't think we're in a recession still. Now, the next point, Hillary keeps saying, but Obama did it. But Obama was for the Obamacare, but Obama got donations from Wall Street, so stop attacking me from doing it. Well, what Bernie should say in that point is that I'm focusing on the issues. And if you think by arguing a fallacy of saying Obama or anyone else did this or that ends the argument on the issues, then ask, can you tell me what is your real point? You just want to be president, right? And say anything to do it. One more contrast is Hillary supported the bailouts for the banks while Bernie Sanders supported auditing the Federal Reserve. And then here's the final point before I get to the next contents. Drug war justice. Anyone who thinks someone, let's just pick anyone who's real, who is in prison right now, and there are many people that you could choose from. Let's select a mother who was sentenced, who also has a young child and a family, and her only so-called crime was using cannabis. She is right now in a cell while you are comfortable. She's in a cold cell with guards outside. She's in a prison uniform with cement and bars all around her, surrounded by sometimes other unjustly prosecuted people and innocent people and also real criminals. And some of those real criminals have a lesser sentence. She's in a stressful, horrible situation away from home and in a hell, per se. Having had her life, well, someone profits off of her. She probably has to work for pennies on the dollar or get some kind of retribution. If you think that she should be there, then I think you should be the one to tell her face-to-face and prosecute and lock her up. Rather, I'm here to free her and rejoin her back to her family and freedom as soon as possible with Godspeed and make sure she has medical care and a good education and family leave and being reimbursed for the unjust, cruel, and unusual punishment that she has endured. And that's happening all around. I've seen stories of just that situation. Now, the second part of the table, and one other thing about the bad fallacy points that Hillary makes, you know, all the surveys that have been taken, Bernie Sanders beats the full field. He beats Donald Trump by the most. And Ted Cruz, and Hillary says, well, that doesn't matter because I'm already vetted. You know, people have known me for like 30 years. I've already been through the trenches. They can't find anything new to throw at me. Yeah, that's why you're losing by more. So you can't have it both ways. Either you're vetted, and that's why, you know, you don't win by much because people do already know you. Or, that poll is valid. I mean, but now this leads up to the second table of contents here. It's the possible year of the third party if it's Hillary against Trump. You have the two most divisive people that the two parties could possibly put up. That's what's at stake if it's those two people. We all know it's a fact that Bernie Sanders has the best chance to win because we have scientific polls and lots of them. About the like last 12 of them for like the last months on end, I've been saying that. And when Hillary supporters start saying stuff like or mouthing off like, if you vote for Trump and if you're a Bernie supporter, then you're supporting a fascist – unlike any other election, there's just too much at stake this year, you know, and that actually sounds like selfish fascism to me more so. It's non-competitive. We haven't even gone through half the states yet, by the way. It's always more of the lesser of the two evils. You know, you keep choosing lesser of two evils, you're still going in the wrong direction. It's just a matter of time. And the same selfishness that thinks that other people in other countries are trash. When you support the Iraq war and other regime changes, which have killed loads of people, but we only care what affects us here, right? We don't see the big picture. Maybe that's why we're in the situation we're in. Selfishness and not seeing the big picture in win-win-win situations. Everything that Hillary accuses what Trump might do, she has already supported overseas and on a grand scale. It's ironic or more than hypocritical. And that's not to say at all that Trump doesn't have plenty of warning signs. He does. He has Mussolini fascist written on him, I think, somewhat. I mean, there's definitely plenty of warning signs. If anything else I was venturing into had that many warning signs, I would probably stay away from it. But and Hillary, too. That's why I'm saying about the third party. I mean, fascists always claim self-defense, and that's how it usually starts. There will not have been, since Republican Party itself, a better environment for a third party if these two are the nominees from the major parties. And actually, Jesse Ventura might be a good thing. So, and also, more than ever, we need a good Congress for checks and balances who are good civil libertarians. So let me see if, okay, so we got about 9 or 6 minutes remaining here. So those are some political points at this point, and some points to mention here. So like I said, we have about half the election cycle to go in the presidential primaries, and you know, the third parties don't usually start even advertising themselves until a little later on. And there's only two other parties that, unless if you're a wealthy independent or an independent, the Libertarian Party has ability to get on access in all 50 states. The Green Party, and I think maybe about 35 or 40 states or something. So they both have statistical chances to win. In other countries, there are some countries that do have like four parties and things like that. There's also a way of voting, and I forgot what it's called right now, but let's say you had four people on the ballot. You can just vote who you want, 1, 2, 3, 4. So if you think Bernie Sanders is the best choice, you would put him as 1. Or if you think Jesse Ventura is the best choice, you put him as 1. It's called ranked voting, I think, and there's like two different styles of it. Now, at first, I was like, no, this doesn't sound right. But I was like, you know what? I really have to look into it, though. It actually is right. So follow me along here. Let's say it was Jesse Ventura, Bernie Sanders, Hillary, and Trump. So let's say I only did a 1. Well, let's just pick somebody here. Let's say you put Jesse Ventura first, then Bernie Sanders, then I don't know. I mean, I'm not even going to – just one of – either Hillary or Trump, third or fourth. And then let's say – because if people were scared – so whoever gets the first ranking will become the president. And then, you know, you can feel assured that whoever you put as second – you know, and there's a way where they drop off, but it actually works and is the most fairest way. And so, I mean, you could easily implement that even with the voting machines we have now and stuff. And that would be a lot more democratic. That's one thing that we could do among many different things. Yeah, I think that'd probably be good. And then there's another way of doing it that's kind of like the opposite of it, but it works out to the same way. I forgot exactly, but I think that's pretty straightforward. That basically sums it up there. And I think another thing is, you know, if you have a statistical, mathematical chance to win, I mean, if you got enough signatures to go on the ballots and, you know, you should be able to be in the debates and you should get the exact equal amount of time in them. And so I think that would go a long way as well. You know, I do think out of principle, there should be a none of the above on the ballots. I do think there should be an election day holiday. You know, it could still be the Tuesday. Maybe make it that first Monday and Tuesday or something. And I mean, these are all ideas that would make it better. And it's, you know, there's got to be more competition. I mean, everyone knows in the marketplace competition's good. But, I mean, that goes the same as selecting politicians and parties and stuff like that. I mean, I'm an independent. I don't really, you know, understand the fervent loyalty to some of these parties at all. I mean, you know, they're about as useful as like a comic book that you get at a Dollar General or something. I mean, they might be fun for a couple of seconds or whatever, but they're not too in-depth or worth any meaning or something that's worth hanging on to, probably. So what else would help the election system along there? Thinking about it, I do think what would be great is an election channel. You know, you could have a federal election channel, and you could kind of like C-SPAN, you can have many channels that are for local places, but it would run 24/7 and give all the candidates that have a statistical chance of winning, let them on the ballots. I mean, let them have equal time on this channel, and sometimes it would have interviews of them, debates of them. They would all be able to put their commercials on it and stuff. And more so, we're going to the internet. The biggest thing is a lot of people, the previous generation, is just going to either need to get educated or, you know, a lot of people don't know how to use the internet at all. They might have a computer and they're part of the statistics, the people who have computers, but they don't know how to use computers at all. They might have one collecting dust or, you know, it's horrible. You have no idea. But we have about 90 seconds remaining, but half the people get their news just from television, and then the other half, people under like 50 or so, get their news from the internet more so. And, you know, two totally different realities there. I mean, that's more just of a sociological thing, but we got about one more minute remaining here. And so, yeah, I don't think you can ever go wrong with voting your conscience. And that's what you should do. You know, if we're in a perfect society, it probably wouldn't even matter so much. But every vote's critical. That's why it's critical to vote for the best person, not the lesser of two evils, in my opinion. And I think that's the most practical thing as well. So, without further ado, have a good evening. Thank you for listening to the Philosophy Show. Feel free to call in or, you know, suggest any show ideas if you'd like. This has been another episode of The Philosophy Show. Thanks.